Well, last time we were together, we looked at the Tower of Babel. So I'm doing this foundation series in Genesis. I was only going to do the first three chapters, but I've just been keeping on going.
That's good. I like it.
So it gives us a little history of the human race and the history of God's dealing with the human race. So it lays some foundations for why things are the way they are and how God interacts with humanity. So we were at the Tower of Babel, and we had also, of course, looked at Noah, and we saw that there were three sons of Noah and their wives that came off the ark, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, if you remember.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to follow the line of Shem, and as we do, I'll just quickly look at some of the genealogy here, and remember that these are people... And we're going to go from Shem to Abraham, a period of about 365 years. Excuse me. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and he begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. After he had Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Salah, and he begot Salah. He lived 403 years and had sons and daughters. Salah lived 30 years, begat Eber. Eber had Salah, lived 403 years. You can see the ages are still long, but they are getting shorter as time goes by. And he had sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and had Peleg. And after Peleg, he lived 430 years and had sons and daughters. And he lived 30 years and had Reu. After he had Reu, he lived 209 years and had sons and daughters. And Reu lived 32 years and had Serug. And Serug lived 207 years and had sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and he had Nahor. And after he had Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and had sons and daughters. So now you're almost half of where you started. Nahor lived 29 years and he had Terah. And when he had Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and he had sons and daughters. Now, Terah lived 70 years, and he had Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. So here's where Abraham comes in. I think everybody's heard of Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Father Abraham, whatever. And so this Abraham is a descendant, as we can follow the line all the way down from Noah to Shem, and then down to this point. His father's name was Terah. And Terah had, and he had three brothers. You can see Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran had a son named Lot. And Lot comes up in the story as well. So I'm going to take us through some of the life of Abraham. I don't think I'll do it all tonight. I think it's going to take two sessions to go through his life because there's a lot of things that happen here. There's a few things I want to point out. And one of them was that God called Abraham. God called Abraham to do something new, something different. And I guess the reaction of Abraham is that he obeyed. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. He is someone who exercised faith in God. We'll see the end result of that faith was very amazing when God called him to do something. But I want you to know something, that Abraham's faith was not perfect. He wasn't like super all the way. Even though by faith he made steps, he didn't do everything right. And I think it's important for us to know that the Bible doesn't create heroes and put them on pedestals. The Bible tells us the way people were, warts and all. He tells the good and the bad and the ugly. And it reveals sometimes the failures of men of God, how short they came in some areas. It doesn't excuse sin, but it shows us that God is working with us. And I'm glad to know that he's patient, aren't you?
Yes.
That he's merciful, that he works with us through our situations, our problems, but there definitely still needs to be a moving forward in our lives. And there was with Abraham. So we're going to look and see what happens to Abraham. So Haran, that's Abraham's brother, died before his father, Terah, in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Ur is a city, and that city, and a matter of fact, at one point, people who were saying the Bible couldn't be true were saying, you know, there's so many cities here that we've never found any record of. Where's this Ur at? However, archaeologists dug up this mound and they found the city of Ur. They found it was a quite advanced civilization. It had written tablets and a language. And the name of the city, Ur, was right there in that city. So it's amazing when you look at archaeology how often they have proved the Bible, not disproved it. There's nothing from archaeology that's ever actually disproved the Bible, but there are many, many proofs of the truths of the Word of God. Now, we're going back thousands of years here, and still, you can still find the city of Ur has been found where Abraham lived. So Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. I just want to let you know that the Abraham and Sarah that are staying in our house are not these. It's Abraham and Sarah. Okay? No, they're not the same ones. Okay.
I was thinking they had aged well.
What's that?
I was thinking they had aged well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Ishka. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And then it says this, Terah took his son, that's Abraham's father, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, his daughter-in-law Sarah, and his son Abraham's wife. They went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now I want to show you something. How is it? Why did Terah move to Haran? Well, here's why. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2, way in the New Testament, we find out more by the Spirit's revelation. This is Stephen making a sermon before he was actually stoned to death for his faith in Christ. And he's speaking about the life of Abraham. And he said, "Brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia." That's where Ur is. "Before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell." So God's original call to Abraham was when he was in Ur. You can press escape, and if you want to go back to the Bible one, just click on Bibles and click on the... No, don't touch that part. Just go up to the projector. I think. Yeah, now you can scroll ahead to chapter 12, I think. So, the call... Just keep scrolling ahead, yeah. The call of Abraham is when he was living in Ur. He was there with his father. Haran had already passed away. And he was with Lot. That's Haran's son. It would be Abraham's nephew. Now, what it says in chapter 12 here is in verse 1, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you.'" So, Abraham was called by God from Ur. But there was something that he was told to leave behind. What was it?
Family.
His relatives. But he took his father with him. If you go back, I think, to 11. I think it's 11, isn't it? Next one.
Back or forward?
Forward, yeah. Yeah, it says Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot. Terah went with them. It says, sounds like Terah was the initiator, but it was actually Abraham. And they went and lived in the land of Haran. Now, who knows, maybe Haran himself had founded that city and moved back to Ur. I don't know. But Haran is halfway from Ur to Canaan. So God told Abraham, I want you to go to this land that I have for you, which was Canaan. And I want you to leave behind your relatives. But what did Abraham do? He
took his father.
He took his father. And his nephew Lot.
Yeah.
So was he perfectly obedient to God?
No. There it says grandson.
Terah's grandson. So he wasn't perfectly obedient. God spoke to him in Ur. He was supposed to go to Canaan. He went halfway and he settled in Haran.
Okay. So he didn't get to Canaan right then.
And not only, so there's two things he did. He took his relatives with him. And the second thing, he didn't go all the way. They got as far as Haran, and it seems like his father didn't want to go any further. So he stayed with his father until his father died. Because it was only after his father died that we saw in the book of Acts there that he actually went the rest of the journey. So when he was in Haran, the Lord spoke to him. After his father died, God spoke to him again. So there was like a gap in between. Sometimes God is showing us what to do, but we're not quite so fast to do it. Sometimes we say, yes, Lord, and or else we say, well, Lord, I'd like to do it, but can I do this with it? We want to make a deal with God. And you'll see that happen in other times. You'll find that with Lot, because we're going to look at the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah as well, because that's another foundational truth of the judgment of God and how Lot tried to make these deals with God. They didn't help him at all. Yes?
The disciples, when he called some of the disciples and said, let me bury my father, or, let the dead bury their own, and then follow me. So did that do something like that?
It's similar to that in the sense, well, I want to follow you, but I don't know if I want to go that far.
Yeah.
I want to follow God, but I don't know how much I want to follow God. Uh-huh. And when we begin to think that way, we are going to find ourselves getting ourselves in trouble. Mm-hmm. And Abraham, I don't know, it doesn't give us the time frame of how long he was caught in Haran. But he certainly didn't obey God fully in every way. But he was a new believer. Really, God had just called him. He was working his way. So I want you to say that God is very patient with you in spite of the fact that sometimes we're not 100%. Okay, God, I'm going to follow you. We slip and fall, don't we? And we learn. But the thing about Abraham was that he learned. He learned obedience. He continued to grow. So that, he made, his errors and blunders later on. He gets to the point where God calls him to do the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
And there's no dealing with God then. Yeah. There's obedience. So, he said, get you out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, how can all the families of the earth be blessed through one man? We're not all the physical descendants of Abraham. Where's the blessing? Where's the promise? How can that promise come true? How has it come true?
Jesus dying on the cross for us.
Yeah, well, what's Jesus got to do with it?
Through faith.
Huh? Faith.
Jesus was born in his line.
That's it. Jesus is a descendant of Abraham.
Yeah.
So when he said, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, he's speaking about the descendants of Abraham, which of course is culminated in the person of Jesus Christ. All the families of the earth are blessed through the person of Jesus Christ. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Still had Lot.
Yes, he did. No,
right?
Yeah, he did.
So Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. And so they came to the land of Canaan. That's where present-day Israel is. Okay? Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, and as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. So we can see, as Abraham obeyed, God's appeared. When Abraham was told to leave Ur, he left. God appeared to him. Then Abraham, when he left Haran and came into Canaan, God spoke to him again when he landed there. To your descendants I will give this land. He built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. In 12:8, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham is growing in his faith. He's walking with God. But now something happens. A famine came in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Now, what had God called him to do? Where had God called him to go to?
Canaan.
Canaan. Now, where was he going now?
Egypt.
Did it seem a logical thing to go to Egypt?
Yeah.
Well, there was a famine in the land.
Okay.
So it seemed like a logical thing to go down to Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But was that what God told him to do? Does it say God said, Abraham, I want you to go down to Egypt?
No.
He didn't. He made his own mind up. And let's see what happens. It came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, indeed, I know you're a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. The truth is that Sarah was his half-sister. Now, remember what we said. In those days, the gene line was much purer.
Yeah.
Don't think about it today, okay? So, but anyway, he said, that I may live because of you. So it was, when Abraham came to Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman. She was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Now Abraham didn't tell him, but the Lord made it plain somehow to Pharaoh that the plagues that were happening in his household was because he had taken this woman. Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. At this point he hadn't, but he was planning to. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go away. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. They sent away his wife and all that he had. And Abraham went up from Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. So Abraham was very rich in livestock. I just want to say, it was a side journey, and it wasn't a good idea. When we don't listen to God, when we say, I'm going to do this my way, I've got a plan here, and we go in that direction, we're going to find trouble somewhere. It's not going to work out the best. So the best thing is for us to learn as quickly as possible, obey the Lord. Do what God says. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows the future. And he knows when we take a path that looks good to us. You know, there's a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that says this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is the way of death. There's a way that seems right. So the Lord knows best. And it's always good to obey him. And when we do, we discover that he is faithful. He was rich in livestock and silver and gold. He went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. Back to start again. And sometimes that's what happens. We go down the wrong road and we get in a mess. And then we have to go back to start and try from there again. And so the place of the altar we had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, Abraham. Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great, they could not dwell together. They had too much livestock, and they didn't have enough grass. That's pretty plain, isn't it?
Yeah.
They couldn't live in the same area. Otherwise, they were going to starve. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers." Brethren, relatives. "Is it not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." So Abraham was very gracious, wasn't he? He said, "Lot, you choose. But there's no way we can stay together, and there's no way I want us to have a division among us. So you choose which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way." Very gracious. Do you remember what God's first call was to Abraham? To leave the land of Ur, city of Ur.
Go to Canaan.
To go to Canaan.
And stop to be relevant.
And what's that?
Leave
your relatives. God has a way of making things happen. Even when we don't do it, eventually God gets his way. So let him have his way in the first place, rather than, you know, him have to take stuff from you and do things in other ways. So God made it so that they couldn't dwell together. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. And Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Lot chose what he thought was the best land.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which I see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Now, God spoke to Abraham in different times. But do you notice again, as soon as he separated from Lot, what does God do again? He's talking to him again. Sometimes we are not hearing from God because we're not listening to God. We're not obeying. If we will obey him and do what he tells us to do, then he will give us wisdom and direction for the next step. That's what happened to Abraham here. As soon as Lot left, God was speaking again. He tells him, "Go through the whole land." And so he did. And Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar to the Lord. And building an altar was a way of making a place of worship to God. it was likely that there were actually sacrifices made, just as there was even when we go back into the old further, as Noah made sacrifices as soon as he got off the ark. And so it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arag, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. And if I didn't pronounce them right, you can correct me.
Yeah, right.
They made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Sinhab, king of Admah, Shemimer, king of Zibeon, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Sidon, that is the Salt Sea, which is where the Dead Sea is, still there today. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And so I'm going to go through this quickly. I'm not going to read all of this. Suffice it to say, there was a war. And when the war happened, the king of Gomorrah was taken. These kings were taken in this war. And when they were taken, somebody else was taken with them. In 14:11 it says, they also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So the one who had escaped came and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Abner, and they were allies with Abraham. Again, I want you to notice the accuracy, the names that are given here. Not, this isn't fairy tales. Now, when Abraham heard his brother was taken captive, which was Lot, actually, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his force against them by night. He and his servants attacked and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is in the north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot, his goods as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God, the God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abraham gave him a tenth, a tithe, means a tenth of all that he had. So that it's kind of amazing that all of a sudden we find that there's a priest in the middle of all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, a priest was someone who served God. In the New Testament, don't think about a priest as someone who is in a particular religion and they're the priest. The Bible says that every Christian is a priest, because what are you called to do?
Serve God.
Serve God. You're all priests before the Lord. And so Abraham conquers them, delivers Lot. Melchizedek comes and visits him. The king of Sodom says to him, "Abraham, give me the persons, but you can have all the goods to yourself," because he rescued the king of Sodom. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, he said, "I've raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich." So Abraham would have nothing to do with Sodom, nothing to do with the king of Sodom. Why do you think?
The wickedness.
What's that?
The wickedness
of Sodom. Abraham said, "I'm not going to profit from your wickedness. I am not going to have it said that my benefactor is the king of Sodom, because you guys are living and practicing wickedness." He said, "I'm going to trust the living God." That's a good lesson, isn't it?
Yes.
Be careful what we do and what we receive. "The only thing I'll take, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, let them take their portion," Abraham said. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield." And what else did the Lord say? "I am your exceedingly great reward." Don't lean on others than the Lord. Lean on the Lord. You'll find him faithful. Abraham took a pretty strong stand there. He could have increased his riches greatly, because all the riches of Sodom had been taken by that king. Abraham defeats him, and he has all those goods. And the king of Sodom says, "I'm so grateful you can have all the riches of Sodom." Abraham says, "I want none of it. I'm trusting in the living God. I've raised my hand to the Lord." Oh, let's walk right. Let's do things right and experience the blessing of God. Now, Abraham had something to say to God out of this. He says this, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me? I mean, he was already rich, right? Seeing I go childless. God, what more can I have? I don't have anybody to give it to. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. So he's talking about his servant, Eliezer, and he says, I guess I'll have to give it to him because I don't have any children. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So God makes a promise to Abraham. He says, no, you're going to have a child. Now Sarah was barren for a long time. No children. Then he brought him outside. Oops, I lost my Sarah. He brought him outside and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. This is the first time you see it said, righteousness was counted to Abraham because he believed the Lord. Not because Abraham was perfect, right? We've already seen that he wasn't perfect. But because he believed in the Lord, it was counted for righteousness. Did you know the New Testament uses this very phrase and speaks in Romans chapter 4 that it's because he believed in the Lord it was counted for righteousness, and it's how you become righteous in the sight of God by believing in the Lord, by trusting in God. Not by being perfect, but by trusting in God. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. He said, Lord God, how shall I know I will inherit it? So he said to him, and then he did this ceremony. And it was a strange ceremony. And I wish Jonathan was here because he did a really good job of teaching this at youth group. And when you were doing this kind of ceremony, it was to establish a covenant. It was the tradition of the day to establish a covenant. You would take these animals and you would split them in half. You would kill the animals. It was part of the sacrifice. And then as you would make an agreement that these sacrifices, the covenant was going to be sealed in blood, and that you would walk together through these sacrifices, and it meant that the covenant was a sealed covenant, a promise. So I'm not going to go through all the details tonight, because I'm not going through Genesis in detail, but this is what they did. And it says, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, a horror and great darkness fell upon him. And I think I missed a verse here, did I? Oh, there. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. Now this was predicting the time when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they were there for 400 years, and eventually, of course, Moses comes along. Yeah. But God is looking into the future and telling Abraham what's going to happen to his descendants. And of course, Moses delivers them. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. That was Egypt. Yeah. Afterward, they will come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. There's still judgment to happen. It came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch, and it passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I've given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. That's all the different tribes that lived in the area. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Now, when this took place, the two of them were supposed to go down through the sacrifice. But that's not what happened here. Abraham didn't walk down through the sacrifice. Only the Lord did. He went down with a smoking torch between them. He's saying, the covenant's all on me. It's not what you do, it's what I'm going to do. And you know, that's really the wonder of salvation, friends. The covenant's not on you. It's God who saves, and it's God who keeps. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be obedient, but God's going to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. He said, this is what's going to happen, and it did come to pass. So now it says Sarah had a maidservant whose name was Hagar. So now, God had told Abraham, I'm going to have a son. You're going to have a son. Can you imagine Sarah thinking about that? By that time, Sarah was 99 years old. I'm going to have a son, am I? So, she... I missed the video chat. Okay. I'll take that out of the recording. So Sarah says, okay, God expects me to have this child, or God says you're going to have a child, but the Lord's restrained me from bearing children, so here, I've got the solution. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. Surrogate mother.
Yeah.
Right? Use my maid to have a baby, and then I'll have the baby. God wants us to have a baby. You've got to have a son because God said you're going to have a son. So here's this is the only way I can figure it can be done. So let's do it this way. And what did Abraham do?
He did.
He listened to the voice of Sarah.
That's right.
Sometimes husbands should listen to their wives. Sometimes they shouldn't.
Not this one.
You know, God says, this is what I want you to do. But it's important how we do things too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is important. We need to do things God's way. We can't think, if I sin this way, then God will do it this way, right? Oh, I know people, there's a great need over there. And I'd really like to help those people. I don't have any money. But what if I go down to the bank and rob it and give them the money?
Yeah.
Right? That sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's just as crazy as this was.
Mm-hmm.
This caused a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Listen, any man who takes two women is going to have trouble. That's trouble in spades.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it started with only two. There was Adam and Eve. There wasn't Adam and Eve and Alice. There was two. There's a reason for it. So Sarah, Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Now, nowhere did God ever say it was okay to have two wives. It was never said it was okay. Some of them did it, but there was always trouble as a result of it. And in the New Testament, Jesus makes it clear in the beginning, this is the way it was. One man, one woman. So Abraham went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. When she saw she had conceived, she hated Sarah. That's it. Jealousy, right? Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. Isn't she nice?
Not nice at all.
My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. Ooh, I can just hear her saying it. Can't you?
Yeah.
Now, who started that mess?
Her.
She did. That's right.
She did, yeah.
Whew. Abraham said to Sarah, Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. Abraham said, well, it's not my fault. You look after it.
That's right.
In other words, you made the mess. Now you clean it up.
Yeah.
And Sarah dealt harshly with her, Hagar. So she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring of the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. The angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He'll be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also seen him who sees me? In one sense, Hagar was sort of the innocent in this, because Hagar would have been a slave. It wasn't like she could say, I'm not going to do this. She was a slave. And the Lord recognized that, and the Lord gave a blessing to Hagar here in the middle of this and gave a promise to her. And so she goes back. So the well was called Beer Lehi Ra. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham named his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I'll make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you'll be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. The word Abraham means a father of many nations. Abraham doesn't. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Also, I'll give you to your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you'll keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. So he gave them the covenant of circumcision. And it was a covenant that distinguished them from the nations that was around them. And that's what he speaks here in 17, 13, 14, 15. And God said to Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, you will not call her Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son by her. And I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. God all along had a plan that it would be Sarah that would have this child. Ishmael was not meant to be the child. So Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He became concerned. What's going to happen to Ishmael then? What's going to happen to him? And God said, no, Sarah, your wife will bear you a son. You will call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I've blessed him, will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He'll beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Do you know who the descendants of Ishmael are? The Arab races.
Oh, the Arab races.
That's the descendants of Ishmael.
Oh, okay.
In reality, and later on there is mention of this, the descendants of Ishmael have not gotten along all that well with the descendants of Isaac over the years. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins, the very same day as God said to him. And Abraham was 99 years old, and he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael's son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. And the Lord appeared to him by the Timonite of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I'll bring a morsel of bread, you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, and as much as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young man, and hastened to prepare it. He took butter and milk and a calf which he prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here, in the tent." He said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." So now we find out who it is. It's the Lord. Mm-hmm. He took on human form. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." For she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." And the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing?" And I'll stop there tonight. And that next part is the judgment that falls on Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Lot is living there. We'll find out what happens to Lot in that. Before tonight, as we do this very fast overview of Abraham, we can see that every time Abraham was willing to obey God, God appeared to him again. Right after the circumcision, when he obeyed God, God was there, speaking again. If you will obey the light that God gives you now, he'll give you more light. If you don't, you'll be wondering what's next. I encourage you, as much as you know, obey God for whatever he's calling you to do. Do it with all your heart in obedience to him, and you'll discover the Lord will show you the next steps. He'll keep revealing himself to you and showing you. What we want sometimes is for God to show us everything now. We want to know it all now. And when God tells us to do something that doesn't seem to make any sense to us, the first question we have is, "Why, God?" What we need to do is say, "Okay, Lord, whatever you say, I will do it." Now you might say, "Well, how is God going to speak to me now?" The primary way God will speak is through his word. So read it. Find out what God has to say in his word. But he will also speak to you through circumstances. He'll speak to you through other Christians. He'll speak to you as you pray to him. He'll give you truth. He'll never tell you something. Don't expect a revelation that's going to come that is against what the Bible says. Because it's the Bible and the Spirit are always in agreement. And God still speaks today.
Answered prayers.
He'll still guide our footsteps. And he's a God of promises. A God who wants to pour promises into our lives. And another great lesson in all of this is that he wants your faith to grow. And he will keep bringing you into places so that your faith will grow more and more and more. Abraham is learning. He's learning to trust God. So are we. Let's keep on moving forward, trusting him. That's what I have for tonight from the life of Abraham. Comments or questions?
And so, you know, like you said, they didn't, obviously they didn't have sperm bank on in that days, but anybody that was like a sperm bank.
Yeah, that was like a sperm bank, yeah. But it wasn't the best plan. It wasn't God's original plan. And we are going to see that Abraham has to put Ishmael and Hagar out and trust God to look after them. Mm-hmm. Not that he didn't lead them with provision, but that God had a plan for them too, but it wasn't the same path.
So is it the same way, like we have to let our kids grow and go their way, and even if they don't believe in God, we have just pray for them to come to believe, and our grandkids too?
There's really not much you can do about that. We have to trust God, yeah. And we can cry out to God, and sometimes, you know, for many people, they come to Christ later in their life, and they, you know, the opportunities that weren't there, but we can still pray and seek the Lord for them and trust that God will do something in their lives, yeah. Anyone else?
Prayer is very powerful.
What's that? Mm-hmm.
Prayer is very powerful.
It is very powerful. Yeah. But even when we're going in the wrong direction, if we are really the Lord's, He doesn't let go.
Right.
He's the covenant maker.
Amen.
He's the one that pulls us forward.
Yes.
He'll get us there. Just sometimes it's kicking and screaming. Instead, it should be, yes, Lord, right? He'll deal with these things. If he says, okay, you need to separate from this situation, like Abraham was told to, Abraham did it in piecemeal, but God got him there in the end. Even with an argument over who's going to eat the grass, God manages to accomplish his plans for you. And that's his mercy. Because his plans are always good. The Bible says his plans are good and not evil. Yes. Just sometimes we can't see the end of it, and it's hard to trust him in it. But Abraham was learning to trust him more and more, and may we do the same.
Even if you do try to trust him, it's still scary.
It is. Of course it is. Yeah, sometimes it feels like you're stepping off a cliff.
I think you gave me the wrong thing.
Let's close in prayer. Father, help us in our weakness.
Yes, Lord.
Help our unbelief, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you will, and you do. Thank you for your promises. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you said whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you that when we trust you as our Savior, you don't let go of us.
Amen.
And that you work with us, and that you love us, and that you do whatever you need to do to bring us where we need to go. So I pray, Lord, you'll show us how to cooperate with you as much as possible. Forgive us where we failed. And Lord, I'm just so grateful that you're God. You're much better being God than we are. So Lord, give us the faith and the grace to trust you more. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.